cost of energy may have disappeared from the news cycle for the last couple of weeks, but that doesn't mean it's getting any cheaper. Most bills have risen at the start of the new financial year, and with wholesale prices not deviating away from the high levels, customers of Energy Australia are expected to feel the pinch soon. The electricity and gas supplier has announced it will lift tariffs as much as 18.9% across the three states it supplies. Victorian customers should expect bills to increase by about $111 a year. In Queensland, $312 a year. New South Wales, here we go, $362 more. Until now, Energy Australia customers have crossed their fingers and hoped for the best, while other big energy companies like AGL and Origin have lifted their prices. And while household customers grapple with another surge in the cost of living, small businesses with Energy Australia are expected to feel the pain of price rises too. The energy story might actually, though, provide a little hope for one sector of the Australian economy. Despite year-on-year price increases of 141% in the wholesale market, Australia's electricity prices are still ranked a lowly 28th of 38 OECD nations. With global prices shooting up, this could provide an opportunity for Australian manufacturers to compete on a global scale. One man who thinks this might be a reality is Steve Eagle, the co-founder and director of How to Buy Australian Made. Steve, welcome to Money News.
It's wonderful to be with you, Luke.
Thanks, Steve. Most businesses will be looking at their power bills with trepidation rather than sensing an opportunity. How is it that rising electricity prices could help manufacturers, mate?
Yeah, it's a tricky question, and I think the reality of it is that we need to be pragmatic about two things, both electricity prices and also inflation. It's easy to take a local market view on these things and think in Australia things are getting more expensive. But if we take a global view on it, what we'll realise is that Australia is actually cheaper than many other nations out there on the market, and even some Asian nations. I mean, I'm in Thailand right now on a business trip, and even in parts of Thailand, electricity is about 18 to 20% more expensive than some areas in Australia. The way that this plays into manufacturing is actually on a global level. Australia actually is becoming more and more competitive as other countries' prices rise at a faster rate than our local rates in Australia.
So you've got to convince locals that even though the price is going up and much more than what they ever might have imagined, that that's not a bad thing. Do you end up convincing them and hopefully encouraging someone with the right spirit to go forward and create stuff? Are we hoping to attract business to Australia? If that is a competitive advantage, how do we best take advantage of it?
Great question. And look, I don't think anybody needs to be convinced on any particular point. We can read the data, and that's typically a better way than following our persuasive arguments or opinions. Reading the data, you can see that there actually is a huge amount of reshoring happening in Australia. Mm. Of all companies that do production offshore, so companies that have relied on China or Australian brands relying on other nations to build their stuff, of all of those companies, they were surveyed in 2020. And what was found that 55% of those companies were considering reshoring after COVID happened and they realized the instability in the supply chain. And a further 22% of them had already done it. Okay. So companies are coming back to Australia, and we're also attracting international investment from the US and from Europe as well, with even the likes of, in the last 2 weeks, NASA launched a rocket on Australian soil. That's the first time NASA's done anything to that scale in the last 27 years. Mm. Now, an organisation like NASA can choose any place on the planet to do that, and they chose Australia. So that's a clear indicator that we are attractive, and we can expect to see more of that sort of activity happening.
That is a very, very fair point, but there are other issues like supply chain issues. Are we equipped here to deal with them that perhaps they are in other parts of the world?
Yeah, absolutely we are. I mean, Australia has 90,000 manufacturers and a lot of them are very experienced and very well equipped. It was only a few short years ago the automotive industry was humming in Australia. And I think what's happened through the end of the automotive industry and then the straw on the camel's back being COVID, I think what's happened is the political class and the business class have realised that we actually do need some sovereign manufacturing capability in the country.
Yeah.
And you can see what the Morrison government and the Albanese government are doing about that. The Morrison government put close to $24 billion worth of stimulus into the economy, $1.5 billion directly at manufacturing. The Albanese government's announced $15 billion worth of money and funding for different industrial work and manufacturing. So in this way, it's easy to get sidetracked by the doom and gloom stories, but gee, is the opportunity coming, and it's going to be big and lasting, and it's something that Australian businesses should really start to be aware of and take advantage of immediately.
Gee, that is a really good news story. What about, if I can ask you this before we wrap things up, governments, are they in the way? I mean, all the time we talk to Australian manufacturers and Australian employers, quite frankly, there's red tape in the way. What about and we don't know much about what the new government will do. They'll have a budget for us in October. But in terms of the ease of doing business here, has government made it easier or not?
Look, they haven't made it easy. There is a lot of regulation in Australia. But on the flip side of that argument, that regulation has also set a standard in Australian production and a standard in Australia's labour force that's a very high standard globally. So most of the products that our 90,000 manufacturers are making are actually a premium product. And because they're a premium product, they can charge a premium rate for them. So again, it's about understanding the global competitiveness of our country. And even, you know, your question around, Should the government get out of the way or continue regulating? I'm always a fan of less government. I think less government's better than more government. I do think that the Australian government can go a long ways to making it viable for small and medium-sized businesses to become exporters, and that means making local production a priority.
Steve Eagle, co-founder and director of How to Buy Australian Made, thank you so much for your time here on Money News.
Thanks, Luke. It's a pleasure.
Good on you. Nice to talk to you. From Thailand, Steve said he was. It's 12 to 8. This is a worry. Australia's $100 billion trucking industry is being assured by the current government that last year's panic over supplies of a critical diesel additive that cuts exhaust pollution are unlikely to be repeated. Now, the Morrison government was forced to grant $29.5 million to Incitec Pivot just days before Christmas, you might remember, so it could produce additional supplies of AdBlue after the world's dominant producer, China, curbed exports of urea amid local price rises. Trucking groups are watching developments closely, given Incitec Pivot has again reiterated its previously announced decision to end production of AdBlue at its Gibson Island facility in Brisbane on December 31. The closure will leave Australia's transport industry 100% reliant on offshore sources. Of course, AdBlue curbs emissions of nitrogen oxide from heavy vehicles and diesel-powered cars to just 5% of their levels that they were in the early 90s. I tell you what, with the supply chain issues and now this on the horizon, goodness gracious me.